All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chof Amud Aleph, 10 lines down. The Gemara here is dealing with the position of Rabbi Shimon, which we saw in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says that when you are makdish in a keva de Hashem, you don't have to wait for a mum, you can sell it off right away, because it never attains kedushat haguf. We said that there are two things that are clear when you have kedushat haguf that impact on the animal. One is that an animal that has kedushat haguf can create tumura. So if an animal can create tumura, that's evidence of the fact that it has kedushat haguf, or vice versa. If it has kedushat haguf, it can create tumura. The second thing we said is that if it has kedushat haguf, then you can't just sell it off. You need to wait till it gets a mum in order to monetize it. So that means that, again, if you need to wait for a mum in order to monetize it, that's evidence of the fact that it has kedushat haguf, and vice versa. If it has kedushat haguf, then you have to wait for it to get a mum in order to monetize it. So those are the issues that are really connected to kedushat haguf that we're discussing over here. We brought a brighter then that a makdish nekeva lo olato lepischo lashamo, person is makdish and a keva for one of these korbanot that requires zicharim only, then oset mura. So that's the Tanakhama's view. If he can make it mura, that means that he believes that all three of these items have kedushat haguf, because otherwise they wouldn't create mura. The fact that he says that there is mura here shows you that he believes that in all of those cases, the Olah, the Pesach, and the Hasham, there is Kedushat HaGuf. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Olato Oset Mura, the Piskol HaShemo, En Oset Mura. So Rabbi Shimon says, like his opinion in our Mishnah with regards to an Hasham, that when it comes to an Hasham and to a Pesach, then there is no din of Kedushat HaGuf. They are only Kshat Damim, they don't even need a Mum to be released, and therefore they don't create Mura. Whereas by the Olah, there is kedushat haguf, and that kedushat haguf then precipitates the necessity for a mum in order to redeem it, as well as the fact that it can create tmura. Rabbi had a slightly different position, which was, I don't agree with Rabbi Shimon with regards to a Pesach, because he thinks a Pesach is more like an Olah than it is like an Asham. That was the end of our Gemara yesterday, and the Gemara explained why it was that Rabbi had that differentiated opinion than Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara comes back and wants to delve into what is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, what is the reason behind Rabbi Shimon's position. Kazaka datcho, you would have thought, hainu taima de Rabbi Shimon. This is the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position. Gabi mafrish nekeva la olato. When you're mafrish and nekeva for an olah, shumachi oset tmura. This is the reason that it creates tmura and it has kedushat haguf. Da'a ika shem olah aleha. Gabe olat ha'of. Because it has an Hashem Olah on it, with regards to Olat Ha'of. You see it in the Vav there of the Shita Mikubetzet, he adds in the word Ani, which becomes very pivotal in the understanding of the remaining of the Sugya, which is that we'll read it with the word Ani in there, and then I'll explain to you later why that is important. Gemara's assumption right now is, the reason he thinks that Olah attains Kedushat HaGuf is, because by an Ani, Olat Ha'of, that Nekeva, is a viable Korban for an Ani. That is because when you have a korban oleh biyoreid, for instance, in the case of ani mitzora, or the case of a yoledet, whereby you have the option for the ani to bring a korban that is not a keves, it's not a behema, but rather to bring an oaf instead. In the case of the ani mitzora, where that option is available to the ani, that's where Rabbi Shimon thinks that you can have and the keva get kedushat haguf. Now, first of all, that narrows the scope of Rabbi Shimon's position only to an olat chova, first of all, because only in that situation do you have this possibility of the olat haof replacing the korban behema that would have been there. By the mitzora, where you have the ashir brings a keves le'olah, whereas the ani brings a tor or ben yonah, and in that situation, that's where Rabbi Shimon says the Olah can attain Kedushat HaGuf, and you can create Tmura there, because there's a possibility within that Olat Chova for the Ani to bring an Olat Ha'of, which could be a Nekeva. And as Tosfot says over here, Mishum Hochi Nakat Gabi Ani, Kegon Ani Mitzora, Dvai Chiyuva Dekema Chayev Ika Nekeva Ba'olah. Because in that same Chiyuv, there is a Nekeva in that world itself. Therefore, if you Magdisha Behema Nekeva, in that situation, he agrees that it gains Kedushat HaGuf, and therefore you would, first of all, have Tmura associated with it, and number two is that you would need to wait for a Mum in order to redeem the animal. Otherwise, it doesn't have Kedushat HaGuf. Elamehato, if that's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position, Bekoin Gadol, Shifrish Para, the Paro, if a Kohen Gadol separated out a Para instead of a Par, the partial Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol, instead of taking out a Par, which is a Zachar, which is necessary over there, he took out a Para, he took out a female cow, Tikdosh, in that case, it should attain Kedusha, Deika Parat Chatat. Because you have the possibility of it attaining Kedusha of a Parat Chatat. Parat Chatat is a Para Aduma. Since we find in the world of the Parim that there is not just a Par of Yom HaKippurim, but there's also a Para that attains Kedusha. So since you have such a manifestation within the world of Kedusha, then I would think also over there, that just like the Olat Behema, because there's a possibility of Olat Ha'Of, therefore, it attains Kedushat HaGuf. So to over here, the para that you were makdish for the par shel Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen HaGadol, that should attain Kedusha when you are makdish the para, because the para can attain Kedushat HaGuf with regards to a parat chatat, a para aduma. Tosafot does point out that this doesn't live up to the requirements we had before with regards to the anim etzorah, that the chiyuv be in the same category, that the obligation that you have should have a manifestation of a nekeva in here. Here, the parah duma has nothing to do with the parah yom kippurim, shel the kohen hagadol. So that goes by the wayside over here. In addition, he says, why did the Gemara pick parat chatat when the majority of chataot come as nekevot? So why did it pick parat chatat? He says, yishlamar, the parech mikoshikein. Because in the case where you're mafish nekeva the ola, that nekeva itself is not ru'uya to be a nola or to have kedushat haguf. Nevertheless, it attains kedushat haguf because of the olat ha'of. By the parat chatat, where not only in the world of that para is there kedusha, but it itself attains kedushat haguf. And since it itself attains kedushat haguf, then certainly it should have the kedushat haguf when you brought it for the par kohen gadol. The Gemara says about that, kodshe bedek abaydu. Kodshei Berek HaBayit lo avdei tmura. That is Kodshei Berek HaBayit, and Kodshei Berek HaBayit cannot create tmura. So even if you are correct that the Parah Aduma is a valid Korban because it's called a Chatat, that's what we say about the Parah Aduma, that it's called a Chatat. Since it's called a Chatat, it has trappings like a Korban, and there's certain rules about it like a Korban. So you would think if you're Mafrishe Parah for the Par of the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim, that attains Kedushat HaGuf because of that option to make it into a Parat Chatat, that is not a good enough option to allow the Kedushat HaGuf to devolve upon the Parah, because even if you were right and it became a Parat Chatat, meaning forget about whether you made it in Par Yom HaKippurim, you made it into a Parat Chatat, you made it into a Parat Duma, in that situation, it wouldn't have Tmura associated with it because it's Kodshei Berek HaBayit. And since Kodshei Berek HaBayit don't create Tmura, therefore it's not a viable option by which you would say that then creates the possibility of tmura for the par of the Kohen Gadol when he brought a para instead of a par. And even though you should be saying the same thing with regards to Olat Ha'Of, the Olat Ha'Of also doesn't create tmura. So why is it then when you're Magdish, the Nekeva, le Ola, that the Olat Ha'Of changes that dynamic, the Olat Ha'Of also doesn't create tmura. So what you have to say is that the distinction they're making here is that by the case of the par Kohen Gadol that is Makdisha Para, the para that you want to be the item that provides the Kedusha here is a Parat Chatat. And a Parat Chatat does not have Kedusha Taguf to it. It's not the fact that the Parat Chatat doesn't create Tmura, it's the fact that the Parat Chatat doesn't create Tmura because it is Kedusha Tamim. And that means that you can't get the status of Kedusha Taguf inside of this para that you're bringing for the par of Yom HaKippurim. As opposed to Olat Ha'Of, which does attain Kedushat HaGuf. It may not be able to create Tmura, but it does attain Kedushat HaGuf, and therefore, so too, this Nekeva, the Ola, can attain Kedushat HaGuf. Once it attains Kedushat HaGuf, it can create Tmura. The reason the Oaf can't create Tmura is because of a technical problem. It's an Oaf. But it does have the level of Kedushat HaGuf, which by an animal will then allow you to create Tmura. Now that still is problematic because we just said before that a motor asham is karev lolat nedava, and for that reason, Rabbi believed that if you're makdish and nekeva leola by an asham, it would not attain kedushat haguf. That's because the nekeva would be monetized, and then those monies would go to nidvat tzibor, and the Korban HaTzibur doesn't have Tmura by it. But why should that matter? The Korban HaTzibur does attain Kedushat HaGuf, so then why can't you say over there that also the Nekeva who's made into Hashem should be able to attain Kedushat HaGuf? So you have to distinguish between the cases, and that's because when you're Mafrish Nekeva LaHasham, over there, the main purpose of the Hashem is to be a Motar. From the outset, it's a Motar, means that it's for Nidvat HaTzibur from the outset. Since it's for Nidvat HaTzibur from the outset, we see from there that Nidvat HaTzibur doesn't create Tmurak because it's a Korban HaTzibur. That means that the Nekeva, that your Makdish for Hashem, also can't create Tmurak. Whereas over here, the reason that your Makdish to Olah is not because you want it to be an Olah Ta'ov. The reason your Makdish to Olah Nekeva is because you want it to be an Olah. It happens to be that Olah Ta'ov is possible to create a Nekeva over there, and therefore it shows you that Kedushat HaGuf can be attained. But that's not the main purpose of your Korban over here. And in that way, you can distinguish between these three different cases as to why the Kedushat HaGuf by the Olah Ta'ov helps you, even though there's no Tmura by the Olah Ta'ov. It doesn't help you by the Parah Duma because there is no Kedushat HaGuf. And it doesn't help you by the Nekeva that you're Makdish LaHasham because over there it's Mukdash LaHatchila for Motar. And the Motar is Nidvat HaTzibur. And there the Nidvat HaTzibur doesn't have Tmura. And that's its primary purpose. So if the primary purpose doesn't have Tmura, then it can't contain within it Kedushat HaGuf.
Since we now were saying that the Shita of Rabbi Shimon is premised on this idea that within that world of the Kedusha, there is a manifestation of Nekeva, and the way that we phrased it so far means within the world of obligatory Korbanot Olah, where in that actual Avera, or that actual Korban that you're bringing, there was a possibility of a female, and therefore that elevates the Korban into a Kedushat HaGuf, then the same thing should be true with regards to Par Kohen Gadol. If you bring a Para and you're Magdish it because of the possibility that the Para could then be a Para Aduma, my response to that Kodshei Berekabayitu, and Kodshei Berekabayitu have the Tmura, they can't create Tmura, and therefore it's not a possible option that would elevate the status of the Para that you're bringing for Par Kohen Gadol into something that has Kedushat HaGuf. Gemara says, all right, Yachid, Shifrish, Seir, the Sirato. What about a Yachid that's Mafrish, a Seir, instead of a Seira? He had to bring a Korban Chatat. Korban Chatat of Yachid either comes from a Kifsa or a Seira. So he was going to bring a Seira, but instead he brought a Seir, Tikdosh. It should become Kadosh, Kedushat HaGuf, Daika Seir Nasi, because you have the Nasi. The Nasi, who's Choteh, has to bring a Korban Chatat, he brings a Seir. Since there is a manifestation of Seir in the world of Chatat, maybe then when you bring a Seir instead of a Seira, it should attain Kedushat HaGuf, at least to the point that it can create Tmura, and then it would require a Mum in order to redeem it. Where it says, Inami, or vice versa. Nasi, Shifrish, Seira, the Seiro. If you have a Nasi that's Mafrish, a Seira, which is the normal Chatat for an individual, a Seira or Kisba, instead of bringing his Seir, he brings a Seira, Tikdosh. It also should attain a Kedushat HaGuf, Dayachid Mafrish Seira, because there is a manifestation whereby a female would be a relevant animal over there, and therefore you should also be able to attain Kedushat HaGuf when he brings that instead of his Seir. So Gemara says, you can't say that. Hane Tre Gufe Ninhu. These are two separate entities. Now obviously, we're not talking about two separate animals, but rather we're talking about that these are two different categories of Avera, or more importantly, these are two different individuals that we are speaking about. And that's what Rashi says. When it comes to a Yachid and a Nasi, by the world of the Yachid, you never find a Seir within his world, and for the Nasi, you never find a Seira or a Kizba in his world. So each one of them, within their necessity to bring a Chatat, you never find the other option. There are two separate categories, two separate paths. Any individual who's bringing a Korban Chatat will never see a Seir LeNasi. And a Nasi that's bringing a Korban Chatat will never see a Seir of Kizba because he's going to bring a Seir. So there are two separate worlds, and this individual cannot bring both of those items. As opposed to, as Rashi says over here, Aval Ola Nekeva, when it comes to Ola V'Nekeva, Bahai Gufa Mishkachala, in that entity itself, that category, and that individual themselves can bring it. D-Bai, if he wants to, Mafkir L'Nichse, he can disown himself of all of his property, Vaviani, and then he'll be poor, V'Chazi Le'Ola Tov, and then he could have brought an Ola Tov. And since he could have brought the Nolat Ha'Of, which does have manifestation in Nikeva, so then when he brings in Nikeva for an Olah, that is something that within his own world, it was a possibility. And since it was a possibility for him himself to bring such a Korban, that's enough to trigger the Olah attaining Kedushat Haguf. That's not true by the Seir of the Nasi or the Seira of the Yachid, whereby they are separate paths in each individual. If you're a layperson, you're not bringing the Seir of the Nasi. If you're the Nasi, you're not bringing the layperson's Chatat. Therefore, they don't overlap. Chatat, Achlo Nitmaneh, if the Nasi sinned before he was appointed to be the Nasi, Kima Frish Seir, the Seirato, since he sinned before he became a Nasi, the obligation for him is to bring a Korban Chatat as a Korban Chatat of a Yachid, which is a Seir or Kizbah, even though now he's a Nasi. The Avira took place beforehand. The truth is, it's a machloket as what determines. Is it the chait or yediat the chait? And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's actually yediat the chait. If he knew about the chait prior to his becoming the Nasi, then he has a requirement to bring it as a Seira or as a Kizba. So now, when he brings a Seir, the Seirato, tik tak dosh. At this point, when he brings a Seir for his Seirato, it should become Kadosh. Da'ilu chata hashto, because if he sins right now, he could bring a Seir at that moment. Now, where you have a situation in which the Nasi is the Nasi already, but his obligations stem from a period of time beforehand, now, if he brings the Seir instead of the Seira, he is a Barit Tui Seiru. He is a person who is Ra'ui for a Seir at this moment. Why would it be then, if he brought a Seir instead of a Seira of Kizba, that he's supposed to bring for that sin beforehand, it would then attain Kedushat Haguf. Where it says, Halo Chata, he didn't sin. And therefore, lo yichayev b'seir. He didn't become chayev in a seir. Yihochi hachanami. Halav olat ha'of kamaiti. Alright. Let's say the same thing over here by the ani mitzora. He's not bringing an olat ha'of over here. If you're telling me that it's the item that you're actually bringing or you're obligated to bring that triggers this ability then to be makdish the wrong thing, so you're telling me now by the nasi, since he hasn't sinned while he was the Nasi, he sinned while he was a Yachid, and he's obligated to be a Seira or a Kizba, that means now when he's the Nasi, even though if he did sin now, he would be Ra'ui to bring a Seir. Nevertheless, since he hasn't sinned right now, his bringing of a Seir instead of the Seira or Kizba should have no impact whatsoever, because he didn't sin. There's no obligation on him to bring it, and therefore it's out of his world right now. Well, once you've done that, you have the same problem with the Ani Mitzora, which is if the Ani Mitzora is going to bring a Behema for their Korban, once they bring a Behema, they're not bringing an Oaf for their Korban. So if you are Mechuyav and Olat Behema, then you're an Ashir, and you need to bring an Olat Behema. And so then there's no relevance to you of the Olat Oaf. If you are an Ani, then you're going to be bringing an Olat Oaf anyway, and so then why are you being Makdish a Nekeva Olat? That's how Rashi says, because then he's wealthy. Inami anihu, and even if he's a poor person, olat nidava lo karva bedalut. The olat nidava doesn't get gradations in it, ilo parish beheja oaf, unless you specify that you're going to bring an oaf. This line in Rashi is very difficult, because we're talking about an olat chova. And Rashi all of a sudden brings in the possibility that we're talking about an olat nidava. That's why back when we started the sugya, I said that the girsa probably is gabi ani olat ha'of. That it's by a korban chovah v'mitzorah, by ani, that olat ha'of is relevant because we're speaking about korbanot chovah. If that's the case, then Rashi's statement here about olat nedava is meaningless, because olat nedava is not in the flow of the Gemara here whatsoever. So there are those that want to explain the Gemara without the girsa of ani in it. And they say the whole floor of the Gemara here is speaking about Olat Nidava all the way along. And that's why, according to this, it's a question on the Olah as well. It's a question from both perspectives, on an Olat Chova and an Olat Nidava, because both of those are relevant. So if you explain the Gemara that way all along, then you could say that this line in Rashi is meaningful. The problem with that is that the answer of the Gemara seems to be that it's about an Olat Nidava, not Olat Chova, and starts to limit Rabbi Shimon's position. For that reason, most of the Rishonim read it as being an Olat Chova until now that we were discussing. And now we're going to switch to an Olat Nidava. And in doing such, then Rashi's statement that an Ani, if he just said, Stam, I'm going to bring an Olat, doesn't bring an Oaf, that shouldn't have been relevant to this at all. Whereas, if you believe that the Gemara until now was speaking about an Olat Nidava all the way along, then Rashi's statement would be relevant, but then it makes it harder to understand what the next stage of the Gemara is, which we'll explain in a second. Tosfot asks your question. Tosfot brings Rashi, and he says, Velo Nira. He says that he thinks Rashi's interpretation doesn't make sense, because when the Gemara says over here that the Nasi didn't sin, and therefore he's not Chayav in a Seir, then also by the Olat Of, he's not bringing in an Olat Of over there, because he's bringing the Ashir. But according to the way Rashi's reading it, that shouldn't be an impediment, because he could be Mafkir Nechasav, and he could bring it. The Nasi can't bring the Seir, because he just never sinned. Over here, the Mitzorah does have the option to bring the Olat Of, and it should be differentiated for that reason. Therefore, this is the way that the Baal HaTosfot would explain the difference between Nasi and a Yachid versus the case of Ola. Dehai Yachid lo chazi liot Nasi ba'od Nasi chai. This individual can't be the Nasi while the Nasi is still alive. V'Nasi lo chazi liot lo din Yachid, and the Nasi himself can't have the din of a Yachid. So, to answer your question, Rashi's formulation or framework is that the Yachid never overlaps with the world of the Nasi, and the Nasi never overlaps with the world of the Yachid. You're saying, wait a minute, that's not true. A Yachid can become a Nasi, and a Nasi can be deposed or removed from it and returned to being a Yachid. So there is this overlap. What Tosafot says is that what it means, Trey Gufininhu, means at that moment, that layperson cannot be the Nasi. That's because as long as the Nasi is alive, there's no replacing the Nasi. He can't become the Nasi at that moment. And similarly, the Nasi, who is the Nasi at that moment, he isn't a Yachid. So it's not about that the Yachid can't be a Nasi and the Nasi can't be a Yachid. That's not true. Over time, that could happen. But at the moment that you have to make the decision about the Korban that he's bringing, so for instance, here he brings a Seir instead of a Seirah for the Yachid, at that moment in time, that Yachid is not Ra'ui to be a Nasi. Not that he can't become the Nasi, but at that moment, since there's already a Nasi, he has no option of being the Nasi at that moment. Aval ani v'ashir, kechad gufo damo. That by an ani and ashir, they're like one individual. Ashir liot liot ani, v'ani liot liot ashir. An ashir can be an ani, and an ani can be an ashir at that moment. At that moment, you can change your status. In a split second, you could have become an ani because you could disown all your property, and you can become an ani. You are ro'oi to be ani. The nasi, while he's alive, you can't make yourself into the nasi, or you can't attain that position of nasi. A nashir, you do have that control to make yourself into an ani, and you're a ra'oi. A nashir can become an ani immediately. And same way around, that the ani could have suddenly become an ashir. He inherits a huge amount. If someone passes away, he inherits a tremendous amount of wealth. He can become an ashir. He's ra'oi, the ota nashir, at that moment in time. As opposed to the achid, who's not ra'oi to be the nasi at that moment in time, because there's another nasi that's there. So that's not even an option available to you. That's how the Baal HaTosfot differentiate in order to try to do. And that's exactly the Gemara's question now. If you're telling me that the Ani is Ra'i to be an Ashir, and Ashir is Ra'i to be an Ani, but that's not at that moment. At any given moment, just like the Nasi can't be a Yachid, and the Yachid can't be a Nasi, at any given moment, once the person is an Ashir, he's not bringing a Korban Ani. Or if he's Ani, he's not bringing a Korban Ashir. If that's the case, then you can't say just because he could be an Ani, that's enough, because you're telling me at that moment in time, it needs to be that he's bringing that korban. Now the Gemara answers, Rabbi Shimon, Savalak, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. That's not, because we have a Mishnah, Rei Alai Ola. Person says that I'm going to bring an Ola. These are the Mishnayot at the way end of Menachot that gives us the definition of all the different animals in the standard korbanot. And a person who says, without any qualification, I'm going to bring an Ola. So the Tanakam over there says, Yavi Keves. The lowest form of Ola that a person intends for when he says, Arei Alai Ola, is a Keves, because that's the smallest animal that can be brought as an Ola. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Otor o Ben Yonah. He thinks that you could even bring an Oaf, is subsumed under the terminology of Stam Ola. And that's exactly now what Rabbi Shimon is saying. Where does Rabbi Shimon say that there is the possibility of Kedushat HaGuf devolving upon an Ola to Nekeva? That's in a case where an individual promised or made a nether to bring an Ola. And since he could discharge the obligation to bring that Ola with an Olat Ha'of, because that's an option that's available to him, therefore, when he brings a animal that's a Nekeva, it attains Kedushat HaGuf. Because the same person with the same obligation could have brought an Oaf, and instead of bringing an Oaf, he brought a Korban Behemah Nekeva. And Tosfot points out that he could even use the Oaf after he was mafrish the behema. Even after he's mafrish the behema to discharge his obligation, he could still bring an oath in order to discharge the obligation. The fact that he could change to an oath makes the keva relevant even for the behema that he has designated now to be his ola. And that's sufficient to create the kedushat haguf, but then facilitate its ability to create tmura and require it to wait to get a mu'minit before you could redeem it. So in that way, the Gemara now concludes that Rabbi Shimon's only speaking about an olat nidava, not an olat kova, according to the way we read the Gemara. And now that we're saying olat nidava, it's uniquely associated with this case where he said, arei alai olat, where there's this option to bring the birds, and therefore, when you're makdish nekeva, you're not out of the world or purview of what's available to you to bring in that moment. And according to the way Rashi read it, which it seems to be that it was an olat nidava all the way along, the answer of the Gemara here is that you've introduced the possibility of an oath being a part of the olat nedava or a relevant korban by the olat nedava. Until that point in time, as Rashi noted, we thought that the bottom level for an olat nedava was an animal. You couldn't bring an oath. Just because there is an oath in the world, that's not enough. It has to be relevant. So that's what the answer of the Gemara is. It is relevant because Rabbi Shimon holds, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that by a neder to say harei olai olah, that allows you the possibility of bringing an oath to fulfill that obligation. Alright, tnana atam. We have a Mishnah in Shkalim. Mishnah in Shkalim says, a magdish nechasav, someone who sanctified all of his possessions. So he really wants to donate everything he has to the Mikdash. Amongst those possessions are animals that are tmimim, that could go on the Mizbeach. What do you do with them? Zicharim unikevot. They have males and females. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Zicharim Yimachru Litzorchei Olot, the Zicharim you sell off to people who need to bring Korbanei Ola, Unikevot, and the Nikevot you have to sell off, Yimachru Litzorchei Shlamim, to people who have to bring Shlamim. That's because when you have an animal that is Tamim and is Ra'oi L'Mizbeach, it doesn't lose the Kedushat HaMizbeach until it goes on the Mizbeach. As Tosfot brings the position as Kosov Rabbi Leiz, Stam Hektesh the Berek Abayit, Rabbi Matpis, Tmimim the Berek Abayit, Enu Yotse Mide Mizbeach, the Olam. So there is this obligation to ensure it ends up in the Mizbeach. We do that, or we facilitate that, by having the people who purchase it use it for that purpose. They need a Korban Shlamim, they need a Korban Olah, they purchase this from this individual. The proceeds, Bidmehem, Yiplu Im Shar Nechasim the Berek Abayit. The proceeds will then go to the pool of money or the assets that this individual is donating to Berek HaBayit, and they'll be part of the gift. Rabbi Lezer's belief is that the person's intent when he donates his possessions to the Mikdash is that he wants to get the most money possible to the Berek HaBayit, and therefore when these animals were included in his possessions, he didn't mean for them to go on the Mizbeach for him. He simply wanted them to be monetized in a way that Berek HaBayit would benefit from that. And he does that by selling them off to individuals who need them for korbanot, and the proceeds go to Berek HaBayit. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, on the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says, Zicharim atzman yikarvu olot. The Zicharim go on the Mizbeach as an olah. There's no better korban and gift to Hashem when you're makdish something than an olah, where it's kula olah Hashem and it goes on the Mizbeach. That's the highest form of gifting in terms of hekdesh. And so clearly, that's what he must have meant to do with the Zicharim that are in his possessions. Benekevot, Yimachru l'tzorchei shlamim. The nekevot will be sold off for people who need to use them for shlamim. V'yaviv b'dmehem olot. And then with the proceeds, you'll bring korbanei olah. Once again, because it was a tamim, something that could have gone on the Mizbeach, he wants to get the entirety of the animal on the Mizbeach because he dedicated everything to Hekdesh. Shlamim doesn't have that possibility because the ba'alim get a portion of it. Even though by the olah, the kohanim get a portion of it, nevertheless, that's not a problem because Mishulchan Gavoa Kazahu. They get that from Shulchan Gavoa. And as Tosva brings the explanation, the Kasavra Loshovik Inche Koche Mizbeach, Beoktish the Koche Berek Abayit, Mide Dachazin the Mizbeach Mizbeach. Koche Mizbeach is something that's Kulo Kalil Dashem. And therefore, that's the best or the most appropriate thing to do with your possessions. But so because of that, we want the Olot to be the result of what he does with these Behemot, Tmimot. B'shar nechasim, you pull the Berek HaBayit, and the rest of his possessions then will be monetized and given to the Mikdash. Amalei Rabbi Chir Ba'ab, Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Chir Ba'ab says to Rabbi Yochanan, Le Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Yeshua, Damar Zecharim Atzman Yikarvu Olot, that the Zecharim themselves go on Mizbech as an Ola, Unekevot, Heicha Mikarvan Shlamim. How is it possible that you're selling off the females then to be used as korbanot shlamim. Ha mikoach kedusha duchuya ka'atyon. What happened here was, in essence, he was makdish the zecharim lola, then they go on the mizbeach, because that works. He was makdish the mekevot lola, that doesn't work, because you can't have females as an olah. So what we tell you to do is monetize them, and then use the proceeds to bring an olah with them. But how could you monetize them by selling them off to be used as a shlamim? These animals already attained kedushat haguf of an olah. Because you just told me that when it comes to being makdish, a nekeva le'olah, that attains kedushat haguf. So how is this a solution in Rabbi Yeshua's opinion? That's one way to read it. Lishna achrina, there's another version, which is, Amalei b'chir b'ava l'Rabbi Yochanan, midika amar Rabbi Yeshua, zicharim atzman yikarvu olot. Because Rabbi Yeshua says that the zicharim themselves go on as olot, the memra, the kedushat haguf akdashinu, that they attain kedushat haguf. Because the fact that they go on the mizbeach shows you that you're able to have kedushat haguf affect them. Yochi nekevot amayim achro, the tzorchei shlamim. Why should it be that the nekevot get sold off as shlamim by re'iya? They require a mum in order to be redeemed. The question is formulated in two ways, but it's two sides of the same coin, which is either the problem is that they have to get a mum in order to release them from their kedusha, and if you're going to release them from their kedusha with a mum, then they can't be used as a shlamim, or you can't redeem them before they get that mum. Or the other way around, if they have kedushat olah on them, how are you then diverting them to be shlamim? How does that work? Because they have, so if you don't have a mum, they have kedushat olah on them, and how can you use them as shlamim? If they have a mum in them, then they can't be used for shlamim, and why are you selling them off for shlamim? And the question really evolves from what we were saying here, that if you're makdish and a keva, the olah, it attains kedushat haguf. Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua, sever like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan says back to him, Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon of our Gemara here. Tamar kol mi de lo chazi le du gufei lo nafta le kedushat haguf. Then anything that is not ra'oi for kedushat haguf, it becomes kedushat lamim, and that's it. It never attains kedushat haguf, even for the possibility of it requiring the mum, or for the possibility of tmura. That's not our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, timacher shelo b'mum. That when you have an asham, that you bring a nekeva l'asham, you don't need to wait for a mum, you can monetize it right away, it only has kedushat lamim, not kedushat haguf. Kevin delo chazia, nekeva l'asham, lo nachtalai kedushat haguf. Since the nekeva is not ra'oi to be an asham, or not ra'oiya to be an asham, therefore, it never attains kedushat haguf. So too, over here, that by the olah, we're going to say, since it's a nekeva, it can never attain the kedushat haguf. The only problem with that is, didn't we already say that Rabbi Shimon believes by an olah, it does attain kedushat haguf? That's what the Gemara says. Imor dam Rabbi Shimon gabe nekeva l'asham, that Rabbi Shimon said by nekeva l'asham, the leka shem asham al imo. That's because the mother never gets a shem asham on it, meaning that the female never can attain a kedushat haguf because there is no female in the world of asham. Aval gabe nekeva l'ola, dika shem ola al imo, because the mother has a shem ola, meaning that the nekeva is relevant in the world of an ola, afilu Rabbi Shimon mode that you have kedushat haguf. That's what we just discussed in the previous Gemara as to why Rabbi Shimon believes that a nekeva, that you're makdish v'an olah, it does attain kedushat haguf, even though by an asham it does not attain kedushat haguf. So over there, I feel Rabbi Shimon mode, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it attains kedushat haguf. Ve'od, in addition to that, hashmina le Rabbi Shimon, le'olato oset mura. And then they quote the braita that we just mentioned at the beginning of this year today, ha'makdish nekeva le'olato ulepischo le'ashamo oset mura. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees, but he says, Omer lo lato oset tmura. But at least for the olah, he says it creates tmura. And we said that if you can create tmura, that's evidence of the fact that you have kedushat haguf. So that means if Rabbi Shimon thinks the olah can create tmura, when it's makdish in a keva for an olah, that shows you he believes that there is kedushat haguf over there. Amalei, Rabbi Shua said, like, ki'ilach tano. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shua holds like Rabbi Shimon, but the other tana's explanation of Rabbi Shimon, and this we mentioned yesterday in the Balei Tosafot, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Af lo lato en oset mura. That even for an olah, it doesn't create mura, which means that he believes it does not attain kedushat haguf. If it doesn't attain kedushat haguf, then you don't need a mum in it to release it. And if it doesn't attain kedushat haguf, then you can sell it off to be a shlamim, without any problem because there's no kedushat aguf of olah on this behema. So you don't have to wait for a mum to redeem it. And you also can utilize it for a shlamim because there's no kedushat aguf of olah on this behema. But that's a unique position of Rabbi Shimon bar Yehuda in Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yeshua is subscribing to that position in his statement that the nekevot are sold off to be shlamim and the proceeds are used to bring olot. Alright, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. Tmurat Hasham, if you have tmurah that was made from Hasham, and the assumption being here that the tmurah was a nekeva, Vlad Tmurata, the offspring of that tmurah, which was a nekeva, Vlada, Uvlad Vlada, the offspring of the offspring, and then another generation later, Atzav Kol Olam, all the way down the line, Yiru Adshi Stavu, then they have to go out to graze until they get a mum, Vimachru, and then they're sold off, Viplu Dmehem Lin Dava, and then the monies or the proceeds that come from the monetization go to Nidava. Over here we're going to see in a second, this means Nidvat HaTzibur. They're put into the Shofarot in the Mikdash to be used when the Mizbeach is Batel. They bring Nidavot, Kaitz, the Mizbeach, Olot on the Mizbeach from these monies. And as Rashi explains in other places, the reason it goes to Nidvat HaTzibur is based on the Takana of Yoyada Kohen Agadol that we're going to see later on in the Gemara on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Bet, where the Pasuk says, Hasham Hu, Hashom Hasham LaShem. Hasham Hu, which makes it sound like it belongs to the Kohenim, and then Hashom Hasham LaShem makes it sound like it belongs to Hashem. Yoyada Kohen said, Kol Sheba Min HaChetu Mishum HaShma, Yilakach Bo Olot. You purchase Olot with it, Abasar LaShem, and the Olot to the Kohanim. And therefore, both Sukim are upheld. The Hasham LaShem was with regards to the Basar, and the Hasham LaKohanim is with the Olot. And that's what it means, that any Motar Hasham is going to end up as an Ola, the Nidvat HaTzibur. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yamutu. Eliezer says they are put to death. This is based on the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer we saw back on Yudchet Amud Bet, where Rashi quoted that Rabbi Eliezer believes that an Hasham has the same din as a Chatat. And Kol Shebe Chatat Meita, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Be Hasham Meita. And Rashi says that that is a Hilchata Gemirala. As Rashi says over here, the Hilchata Gemirala. Sounds like from Rashi that it's Alacha L'Moshe Misinai. But many want to claim that that's not what Rashi means over here, because we have a principle that when it comes to Alacha L'Moshe Misinai, there is no machloket about it, and that's why it's Alacha L'Moshe Misinai. So Hilchata Gemirala might mean that there is a Mesora for this matter. And therefore, the difference in opinion between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim comes to their Mesora. The Chachamim's Mesora is that Chamesh Chatot Meitot and Kobe Chatat Meita Basham Yireat Shisteiv, whereas Rabbi Eliezer has the Mesora that Chamesh Chatot and Hashamot are Meitot. That answer is nice, but doesn't work so well for Rashi, because Rashi earlier, back on Daf Yud Chedem Bet, said that this din about the Hashamot is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai explicitly, and not just Hilchata Gemirala. So what you have to say is that the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai was that the Hashamot don't go on the Mizbeach. Question is, what does that mean? Does that mean they have the same din as the Chamesh Chatot Meito? Or does that mean they don't go on the Mizbeach, but you're actually staying? And that's the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim with regards to what is the meaning of the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that the Chamesh Hashamot don't go on the Mizbeach. V'Rabbi Elazar Omer is the third opinion. You bring with the proceeds Olot. Mishnah in a second will ask what's the difference between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim in the Resha. Hasham Shemetu Ba'alav. An Hasham whose owners passed away, Bishikipru Balav, or the Abalim already attained Kapara through a different Hasham, Yiru Achi Stavu, again they're put out to graze until they get a mum, Viyamachru, they're monetized, sold, Viplu Damav Lenidava. And once again, the Chachamim, the Tanakama believes that the monies are given to the coffers of the Tzibur in order to be used for Nidvot HaTzibur. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yamuto, Rabbi Eliezer says again that they are put to death, like the Chamesh Chatot HaMeitot. These are items that are in the Chamesh Chatot HaMeitot. Before we spoke about Tmurah, and now we're speaking about Shemetu Balav or Kipru Balav. All three of those by Chatat are Meitot. So for Rabbi Eliezer, they're also made by an Hasham. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yaviv Dameh Olo. Again, you bring with the proceeds in Ola. So now the Gemara will discuss why the Mishnah divided up into two separate machlokot. The same machlokot exists in both places. You could have consolidated it and written the Tmurot and the Vladot together with the Kipru Ba'alav and Meitu Ba'alav. Why does the Mishnah separate them out? That the Gemara will discuss. Now the Mishnah asks him, Balo Afnidava Olahi. isn't the Nidavah that the Chachamim and the Tanakhama spoke about, isn't that also an Olah? So then, Ma ben Divrei Rebbe Lazar, the Divrei Chachamim. So then, what's the difference between Rebbe Lazar and the Chachamim? Ela b'zman shehi ba'a Olah, when it becomes as an Olah, meaning an Olah ta'yachid, then Someich Aleha, like every other Korban Yachid, it requires Smicha, because every Korban Yachid requires Smicha except for Bechor, Maser, and Pesach, they all require Smicha. Umevi Nisachim, and the person who's bringing the Olah is responsible to bring the Nisachim along with that Olah. Unisachem Mishalom, and he's got to pay out of pocket to bring those Nisachim. Imaya Kohen, if the owner of this Olah that needs to go on the Mizbeach here, Avodata Ve'ora Shalom, he can do the Avodah, he can bring it up in Makriv it himself, he does not have to give it over to the Mishmar, and then once he does that, it belongs to him. That's based on the Limud from the Gemara in Baba Kama, as well as the Gemara in Sukkah, that says, the Pasuk says, Uva b'cholavat nosho b'sheret. It says about the Kohen, he can come whenever he pleases and do Avodah. That's with regards to personal Korbanot. He can bring them up anytime, do the Avodah, and he gets all of what belongs to the Kohenim come to him, because it's a personal Korban. But, it was machi nidava, on the other hand, if it's a nidava, it's a donation to the Tzibur, that it'll become nidvat Tzibur and brought as a lot of Tzibur, eno sumech aleha, there's no smicha, because, as Rashi points out, we have a mesora in the Gemara in Menachot, that there are only shnei korbanot tzibur that have smicha on them, and that is the Seir HaMishtaleach and the Parilam Dabar Shel Tzibur. Aside from that, there is no korban tzibur that gets smicha, so there's no smicha over here. Veinu mevi aleha nisachim, he doesn't bring, the person whose asham it was, now that the monies that came from here are now going to nevat tzibur, he's not responsible for nisachim. Because the tzibur needs to provide the nisachim, because it's a korban of the tzibur. And even though the owner of this asham that now got converted into an olah was a kohen, the avoda and the olah belongs to the anshei mishmar. That's because it's a korban tzibur. With regards to the korban tzibur, the pasuk says levad mimkarav al avot. Aside from the things that were sold or agreed to, bartered between the families. And that is the Mishmarot agreed that you work this week, I work that week. The week that I work, I get all the Korbanot Tzibur. The week you work, you get all the Korbanot Tzibur. And therefore, he doesn't have a right to take it personally when he comes up. He's not from that Mishmar. And even if he is from that Mishmar, he starts to share it amongst all the people of the Mishmar. It's not his exclusively. So that's the difference between it being an Nidvat Yachid, versus being an Nidvat HaTzibur, or the Nafkamina, between Rabbi Lazar's position and the Chachamim's position. There are other Nafkaminot, which we know already, one of which is that Tmurah can be done by a Korban Yachid, not by a Korban HaTzibur. So that would be another Nafkamina between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Lazar, it's Nidvat HaYachid, and therefore it could create Tmurah. Whereas for Chachamim, where it's Nidvat HaTzibur, you cannot create a Tmurah. The other nafkamina is what we just discussed before, is whether you can use the proceeds to bring an olat ha'of. By a korban tzibur, you could not do that, because there's no olat ha'of by the korban tzibur. By the korban yachid, if you think that a stam olat, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, possibly could include an oath, then there may be the possibility here that you can bring an oath for the olat ha'yachid. Right now the Gemara says, v'tzricha, the Gemara is answering the question as to why the machloket in the Mishnah was broken up into two bavot, into two separate categories. One which dealt with Tmurah and the Vladot, and the other one that dealt with the Asham Shekipru Balav and Asham Shemetu Balav. The Iashminan Asham, if you only told me about the case where he already discharged his obligation with another Asham, and now this is an Asham Shekipru Balav, the Hakamar Rabbi Lezer Yamutu. Over there, Rabbi Lezer believes that they are subject to death. Bishum de Gazar the Achar Kapara Atu Lifne Kapara. Because he goes there after Kapara, Atu before Kapara. Because before Kapara, then you have the two Hashemot sitting there, and one of them needs to go on the Mizbeach, and the other one's going to turn into a Motar Hashem, and then it'll be monetized and used as an Olah. But that only happens after you've attained Kapara with the one Hashem. Before you've attained Kapara with the one Hashem, the other Hashem cannot be made into an Olah, and you can't monetize it. So the fear is that this individual knows that if it was after Kapara, then the other Asham waits for a moment, then monetized and brought as a Korban Olah. So he figures, all right, I still bring my Asham, but I know the other one is going to become a law anyway, puts it out to graze, gets a mom, redeems it, and then brings an Olah with it. So in that case, he's doing an Aveira. First of all, the money should have gone towards the Asham. and it should have Kedushat Hashem, and he's bringing it as an Olah. So in order to avoid that problem, he said, just like before Kapara, it's not true that the Korban is an Olah, so too after Kapara, I'm not going to let you bring it as an Olah, I'm going to make it that it's Yamutu. You would have thought that maybe that's the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that they're Yamutu by the case of Asham Shekipru Ba'alav, about Gabe Tmurat Asham, Vlad Tmurata, by the case of Tmurat Asham, and then the offspring of the Tmura, Emamodi Lula Rabbanan. He would agree with the Rabbanan, because over there, there's no confusion. Over there, the Tmura never goes on the Mizbeach as an Asham, and the Vlad never goes on the Mizbeach as an Asham. It can be monetized right away, it can wait, get a mum right away, make it into an Olah. It's not a possible Asham over here. By Asham Shekipru Ba'alav, both of them were valid Ashamot, and then one of them became invalidated by you bringing one of the two as a korban. But until that point, they're both valid Ashamot. Over here, the Tmurat Asham and the Vlad Tmurat Asham were never valid Ashamot. They were always for an Olah, and therefore there's no confusion that can happen over here, and there would be no need for Gzeira of Yamutu. V'yashmin on Hotam, if you only told me about the case of Tmurat Asham and Vlad Tmurata, B'hakami Rabbonon, that's where the Rabbonon say that it goes out to be Yireachi state. Well, give me a sham, the case of Kipru Ba'alav, Eimo Modi Leila Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe they would agree to Rabbi Eliezer over there. Tzricha, that's why we need both machlokot over here, to tell you that the machloket exists, both by the case of Tmurat Hashem and Vlad Tmurata, as well as by the case of Hashem Shekipru Ba'alav. In both places, they maintain their positions. And Rabbi Eliezer believes it's mate in both cases, and the Chachamim believe that it is Yireachi state. From here, it would sound like the conclusion of the Gemara is that Rabbi Eliezer's position is not a gezeirah in the end. His position is a halacha le-Moshe Mi-Sinai. And that is that in both instances, Yamutu, it's nothing to do with a gezeirah, because the gezeirah would only been applicable by an Hashem Shekipru Ba'alav. So now that we know that it also applies to Tmurat Hashem and Vlad Tmurata, that tells you that his opinion has nothing to do with the gezeirah, seemingly is do'oraita, just like the Chachamim's position is do'oraita. And that would be the conclusion of the Gemara. On the other hand, what's interesting is the Rabbeinu Gershom says v'tzricha, and he brings a different conclusion. He said tzricha, the meimar, nami baha yamutu. That also in the case of Tmurat Hashem and Vlad Tmurata, that Rabbi Eliezer believes yamutu, the gazar hani atu hani Hashem shemetu shekipru. He extended the gzera. The gzera was not just kar kapara atu atne kapara, but the gzera also extended to Tmurat Hashem and Vlad Hashem. We were afraid that if we let you over there bring them as olot, then you're going to do the same thing with a Hashem Shekipru Ba'alav, and then you're going to do that before Kapara, and you're going to bring one of them as an olah. So in order to avoid that problem and any confusion within the world of Hashem, he says they're all metot. So the Rabbeinu Gershom concludes that everything here is a gzera, according to Rabbi Eliezer. It's one big gzera. That anything in the world of Hashem is meta, because we're afraid of that instance where lifnei kaparai was an Hashem Shekipru Ba'alav, where both Hashemot are available to him, he might take one of them off and make it into an olah before he attained kapara with the other one. That's the way the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it. Then Rashi himself brings lishna achrina. He says inin acher Yushalmi. He brings from Yushalmi. When Rashi here throughout the Masechta says Yushalmi, he means lishna achrina. And he brings the following Lishna Achrina, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, by the case of Tmurat Hashem, he says there, Tamut. There you get Mita, because over there you could confuse them. And by mistake, you could bring the Tmurat Hashem as the Hashem, and you'll bring the Hashem as the Olah, and you'll confuse them, and that's a big problem, because the Tmurat Hashem can only be used as proceeds for an Olah, and now you're bringing an Hashem with it, so that's one problem. And then the other problem is that the Hashem itself that should have gone as an Hashem, you're making into an Olah. So now you have a double Aveira by doing that. So he says, better that Yamutu by the case of Tmurat Hashem, because then we won't have any confusion. Nobody will get confused. On the other hand, by the case of Hashem, Shinit Kupru Ba'alav, there we don't worry about it. It doesn't bother us because over there, both of them are valid Hashemot. So if you mix them up, it's no big deal. You bring one of them as an Hashem, it's a valid Hashem. Bring the other one as an Hashem, it's also a valid Hashem. So mixing them up, which one's the Hashem, which one's the Olah, that has no bearing over here, and you don't have to worry about it. So our Havamina would have been that Rabbi Eliezer believes by the case of Tmurat Yamutu because of the problem of mixing them up, and by the case of Hashem Shekipru Ba'alav, there's no problem with the mix-up, so there he doesn't say Yamutu, and vice versa. The Chachamim, by the case of Hashem Shekipru Ba'alav, say there, Yirachi Stay, because the confusion is not an issue, but maybe they would agree with him by the grace of Tmurat Hashem. And along comes the conclusion of the Gemara that says that their positions are consistent, and that Rabbi Eliezer, it seemingly, is maybe here, goes there in both cases of Ati Le'chlufe, and the Chachamim don't worry about that, and therefore they say everything is Yiria Achi Yistei. So that's the version that Rashi brings. The Rabbeinu Gershon brings the Lishna Achrina, but he brings it just the opposite of Rashi. He brings the Lishna Achrina and says that Ahavamin would have been that the Rabbonon argue by the case of Tmurat Asham, because over there, Ate Le'chlufe, there you're going to mix it up. If you say that Tmurat Asham gets put to death, then you have a problem, because if you make a mistake and you put the wrong one to go to be put to death by the Tmurat Asham, there's no recovering from that, because you killed it already. If you put it out to graze, then if you made a mistake with putting the wrong one there, you can recover it, because you could just pull it back from grazing and put it on the Mizbeach. So if you confused which one was supposed to go on the Mizbeach and which one was going to be the Olah, over there, we don't want you to do it in a way that it's fatal, which is that you can't reverse it. In the case, that would be if Yamut. On the other hand, if it's only Yirachi Yistev, you can recover from that. On the other hand, by Asham Shekipru Ba'alav, over there, the Chachamim don't worry about you making a mistake. There's no real mistake that you can make. Either one is valid, and over there, there's no real mistake that you can make. So the Rabbeinu Gershom has the same Lishna Achrina, but for him, the Tmurat Asham for the Chachamim was the reason that Yirachi Yistev, by Kipru Ba'alav, they would then say that maybe it should go to Mita over there, because there you don't have to worry about a mix-up. The mix-up's not an issue. And the Rebbe Eliezer would say it the other way around. By the case of Kipru Balav, it's the Mita, because you don't need to recover a mistake, because there's no mistake that you can make. And by the case of Tmurat Hashem, you agree to them, you're actually saved. So it's the exact opposite of Rashi, where Rashi said Tmurat Hashem, according to Rebbe Eliezer, would be the Mita, not Kipru Balav. Over here, the Chachamim were the ones who would say that it's there, it's you're actually saved. And then in the case of Kippur V'Alav, it would go to Mita. So he has the Lishna Achrina, that it's focused on Tmurat Hashem, because Rashi and Beit Gershom argue about in whose position is that relevant. According to Rashi, it's Rabbi Eliezer's position, and that would be more likely to be the Mita. Whereas for the Beit Gershom, it's in the Chachamim's position, that would be more likely Yireh Achi Yistev. All right, so now the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Barvua, Machloket Achar Kapara. This machloka between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is only after you've attained kapara, in that once the Asham has been brought, then they have a machloka as to what happens to the other animal. Does the other animal yamut? Or is the other animal yireachi stev? Aval lifnei kapara, before kapara, divrei akol hu atzmo yikarev Asham. It itself will go on the Mizbeach as an Asham. Rashi says, hu atzmo, vlad hatmura yikarev Asham, if the first Asham was lost, then the offspring of a Tmurat Asham, which was in a Keva, then that offspring could be brought as the Asham. Now Rashi obviously says it's the first one was lost, because the first one's not lost, you don't need the Vlad Tmurata to be brought as an Asham. You can bring the original Asham as an Asham. So Rashi creates the case where you might want to use that Vlad Tmurata. And so from here it sounds like that if you already attained kapara through the main Asham, then Vlad Tmurata, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is subject to death, and according to Chachamim, it's Yirachi Yistev. But before you attained kapara with the first one, and you lost it according to Rashi, then that Vlad Tmurata could be brought as an Asham. It's ra'oi to be an Asham. The Rabbeinu Gershom has a slightly different view of what the case is. He says over here that the case is you can bring whichever one you choose. Vari shnehem omdim, if he wants to. It's not an obligation, it's just if he wants to do it, he can choose between them. That's the statement of Rav Nachman. And so Tosva points out, does that mean that then the Vlad Tmurat Asham is going to be better than its mother? Its mother can't go on the Mizbeach, but it itself can go on the Mizbeach. So he says, maybe it is because the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, that Tmurat Asham is Eina Kreva Asham, but rather is and then is brought as Motrot Asham, as an Olah, maybe that's only on something that is Ra'ui to be an Asham, like a Zachar. But if it's a Nekeva, that's not Ra'uya to go on the Mizbeach as an Asham, maybe over there, the Tmurat Asham doesn't have a din that it's disqualified from the Mizbeach. That maybe over there, its proceeds would be used to make an Asham, and not to create an Olah. And since that's the case, it's then ru'uya le'nasham, and that's why its offspring also would be ru'uya le'nasham. But then once the Gemara switches here to the achar kapara, over there, everything, the achar kapara, goes le'ola, nothing goes le'asham. If that's the case, then you can't say that a female then would be different than a male with regards to the halacha of the Moshe Mitzrayim. Amar Rava, shtei tshuvot b'davar. Rava, who's a Talmud Muvhak of Rav Nachman, says that Rava Bar Avuna's quoting of Rav Nachman is incorrect over here. He says, I have two reasons why this is not a correct statement. Chada, deinanda mitkaper b'davar haba b'avira. A person cannot attain kapara with something that comes through an avira. It's because this is a vlad tmurat asham. So the way that you got this offspring was through doing tmura. Tmura with the main animal asham that was onto an akeva. And then that akeva gave birth to a vlad. So it came derech an avira. And what Rashi says over here is, and you violated the Isra of Lo Yachlifenu in producing it, therefore it's no way that it itself could go on the Mizbeach as an Asham. Ve'afal gav de tmurat olah v'shlamim karvo. Wait a minute. A tmurat v'shlamim goes on the Mizbeach. Tmurat olah goes on the Mizbeach. There you see, something that's baba veira goes on the Mizbeach. Rashi says that's not a problem. Lav the kapara atyon. They're not coming to gain atonement. So you see from here that it's not an issue of a mitzvah haba be'avira, it's a problem of kapara haba be'avira. When you come to attain atonement, it's unbecoming, unseemly to bring a animal that was produced through an avira as your means of kapara. The difficulty with this is, as the achronim ask over here, the Sfat Emet, the Greeks all ask about here, is we don't understand. Number one, if you have an animal that is disqualified from the mizbeach, because an avera was performed with it, first of all, like roveya, nirba, animals that had bestiality performed with them, they are disqualified from the mizbeach. If they have offspring, then that animal is ro'uy the mizbeach. And nobody says, well, that came through an avera, therefore it's not ro'uy the mizbeach. It is ro'uy the mizbeach, that offspring. And so why over here is the offspring colored by the mother that the avera was performed by? And even if you want to say the difference there is that the case of nirba and roveya, is the Baalim themselves, or whoever's being the Korban, didn't do the Avera. Over here, he did do the Avera because he created the Tumura. That's not a distinction that's relevant within the Vlad. And so therefore, yes, I don't even understand why the Vlad is problematic to bring, as because it came through an Avera. And the Grizz points out that the issue is that if you tell me that by Olah Shlamim, there's no problem of putting them on the Mizbeach when they are Tumura, that's because they were not separated out to be a Kapara for a Chait, then Tmurat Hashem should have the same status. Tmurat Hashem itself was never separated out to be a korban to be mitkaper with, and so therefore the Tmurat Hashem should not be a problem, and its offspring then shouldn't be a problem. Elim Kain, you say that the offspring is a problem because the Vlad is Sheva Chetesh, and it's as if it itself was mufrash to atone for the Chet. If that's the case, then the problem with the offspring or the Vlad is not because it's Baba Beira, but it's because ein adam mitkaper b'shevach shel ekdesh, and then ikar chaser min ha-sefer. So how is it that the offspring is worse than the parent itself? So they all leave it as a tzarach iyun here as to why this is the case over here, or why would these differentiations exist. V'od, another issue with this statement is hatani Rabbi Chanina, Chananya, Rabbi Chia, they're all different versions of what this is. Before in the Gemara on Daf Yud Chet, we had it as Rabbi Chia. Over here, the Girs is Rabbi Chananya, and in Rashi, it's Rabbi Chanina, the Siuye, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He brought this Braita as evidence to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's position that the machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim with regards to offspring and offspring of offspring, he says, Damar, Vlad Rishon Karev, according to the Chachamim, the first generation goes on the Mizbeach, Vlad Sheni, Eno Karev. But the second generation doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And we know it's speaking about the Chachamim's position because the first generation goes on the Mizbeach. Back on Yud Chedem and Aleph there, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Vlad Shlamim lo yikarev, Shlamim. Rabbi Eliezer says that a Vlad of Shlamim doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Chachamim arim yikarev. He says they go on. And then the machloket between them was a question if that was only in the first generation or in the second generation. We learned there that Rabbi Eliezer's position derives from the fact that we don't want you bringing up Adarim, Adarim of them. And we ask, what was the Chachamim's position? Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that their machloket is in the first generation, but in the second generation, even the Chachamim agree that we say that it is lo yikarev, Loi Karev, and according to Rashi, that means the mito, according to Ben Gershon, means it goes out, Yirei Hachim stay. Because we're afraid of him bringing about the ring, because he already has evidence of the fact that he's keeping a second generation, that shows you that's what his intent is, and therefore, according to Chachamim, would agree. And we brought evidence to that position of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from this Braita, that says that Vlad Rishon Karev, because it says Im Kesem, and there we said that means that the first one goes on, Vlad Sheni, Edo Karev, the second generation does not go on the Mizbeach. So there you see that the Chachamim agreed that it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And we worry about Adarim Adarim. So how can you say over here that Machloket Lachar Kapara? Their Machloket is after Kapara, Velifnei Kapara, Dibrei Akol, Hu Atzmo Yikarev Hashem. That in itself should be an Hashem. What is the case of Vlad Vlad? Vlad Vlad means second derivative Kedusha. That means first derivative Kedusha is the Vlad, the offspring. Vlad Vlad, the grandchild, is the second derivative Kedusha. And we see, even according to the Chachamim, second derivative Kedusha, according to Rashi, is Yamut, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, is Yirat, is Dave, definitely doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And guess what? Vlad Tmurat Hashem is also second derivative Kedusha. The Tmurat Hashem is the first derivative, that's the Nekeva. Her child is a second derivative Kedusha. And you see, according to the Chachamim, second derivative Kedusha does not go on the Mizbeach. So how can you claim here that Mefnei Kapara, everybody agrees it goes on the Mizbeach? That's just not true. Because even the Chachamim in second derivative Kedusha believe that it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Elohi Itmar, Achi Itmar. If you want to say what Rav Nachman said, this is what he said. Amar Rav Nachman Rav Abua, Machloket Kodem Kapara. Now Machloket is before Kapara was attained. Over there, that's where they have their Machloket as to whether it's Yamut or it is Yirei Hachi Yistev. As Rashi explains over here, the Machloket is that Vlad Tmura before Kapara, there Rabbi Eliezer says Yamut, because if you say Yirei Hachi Yistev, since the proceeds are brought on the Mizbeach Le'ola, they might get mixed up and be brought La'asham because you have yet to do your Kapara. But the Rabbanan say, because since it itself is not going on the Mizbeach as an Ola, people aren't going to mix it up. Aval the Achar Kapara, once you've attained Kapara with the main Hashem, he Atzmo Karev Ola. Then that animal, that Vlad Tmurat Hashem, itself goes on the Mizbeach as an Ola. Because there's no mixing up anymore, because the Hashem was already brought, then the Vlad itself should end up in the Mizbeach like an Ola. And that deals with the issue of Adam Mitchaper B'davar Abba B'Aveira, because it's not coming to be mitkaper anymore. You're already mitkaper with the Hashem, so this is no longer a kapara, it's an olah now, and therefore there's no problem with it. But, what about the braita? Va'atani Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Hanania, Rabbi Chanina, Lesuyuli, Rabbi Shulman Levi. What about that? That second derivative kedusha doesn't go on the Mizbeach. This is still second derivative kedusha. It was an Hashem that had a tmurata, was the mother. The Vlad is an offspring. That's second derivative kedusha. Second derivative kedusha doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Kasha. That's a problem. We leave that as an unresolved issue. All right, so that's the view of Rashi here. The question here about Rabbi Nachman's statement is about the machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim and the Mishnah as to whether Yamoto or Yiru Achi Yistavu. The problem with that explanation is that it makes Rabbi Eliezer's position look like a gezeira over here. And that goes against Rashi's conclusion before that Rabbi Eliezer's view is not a gezeira, but rather it is halukhata gemirla, halukhata moshe misinai, that Hashem and Chatat have the same din, or because of the psukim, kachatat kasham, whatever the reason is, he thinks they're the same, and there's no gzeira over here. Yet in this approach of Rav Nachman, it sounds like that Rabbi Eliezer's position is based on a gzeira. The Rabbeinu Gershom, on the other hand, can't explain like Rashi, because before he concluded that Rabbi Eliezer's position all is a gzeira. And the gzeira was both the fact that where goes there, Achar Kapara, Atu Lifnei Kapara, as well as the fact that we're gozer in the other instances of Tumrat Hashem and Vlad Hashem, Atu Lifnei Kapara. But that means that according to him, both Lifnei Kapara and Achar Kapara, the din of Yamutu exists. And in the second Lashon, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, in the case where both of them are in front of us, and there's no Chashash of Ichlufei, even there, Rabbi Eliezer was Gozer Shiyamutu, and the Rabbeinu Gershom already explained that he thinks the case here is the case where both of them are in front of us, the Hashem and the Vlad Tumarat Hashem. So if that's the case, then Rabbi Eliezer definitely believes Yamutu. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Gershom says that this statement of Rav Nachman can't be about the machloki between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, rather it must be about Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, as to where the proceeds go. Do they go to the Nidvat HaYachid, but do they go to Nidvata Tzibur? And therefore, his explanation of the statement of Nachman is the following. Lo shanu ela lachar kapara. That's only after kapara. That's where the argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar exists as to what you do with the proceeds. Aval lifnei kapara, divrei hakol, vlad atzmo karev asham. That before kapara, the blood itself goes on as an asham, if you want, or if you choose. And then in the second version of Rav Nachman, lo shanu ela lifnei kapara. Their machloket is before kapara, because ein adam mitkaper b'davar ba be'avira, and therefore it can't be used as an asham. And if that's the case, it has to be converted into an olah, and you need the proceeds, and therefore you have to argument about where the proceeds go, whether it goes to nivat yachid or nivat tzibur. For the achar kapara, everybody agrees the vlad goes on the mizbeach as an olah itself, because the olah doesn't come for kapara, and therefore there's no problem of en adam mitkaper davar haba b'avira. But then you still have the problem of the bright of Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Hakananya, that a vlad sheni doesn't go on the mizbeach. And therefore, even as an olah here, it shouldn't be able to go on the mizbeach, and that they leave as a kasho. And now the Gemara continues and says, "Vaymine Rabbi Avin Bar Chiya mi Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana, hifrish nekeva l'asham. Someone who separated out a nekeva to be an asham, bina mahu shikarev le'olah. Its offspring, can it be an olah on the mizbeach? V'tifshit le mid Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. Why don't we learn that out from Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina?" Damar, because he said, Modeh Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Elazar agrees when you're Maktish E Nekeva Le'asham, that was the top of New Ted Amud Bet in yesterday's daf, Rabbi Yosef Chanina says, Modeh Rabbi Elazar, if Mafrish Nekeva Le'asham, Ve'ein B'na Karev Asham. If you're Mafrish Nekeva for an Asham, that the offspring doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Asham, because there's no Shem Asham Al Imo. And because of that, the offspring doesn't go on the Mizbeach as an Asham. And we said later on in the Gemara that not only does it not go as an Asham, it also doesn't go as an Olah on the Mizbeach. So if you know Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina's statement, then you know what Rabbi Elazar's opinion is over here. So he says, Lo Shmiele, he didn't hear that. He hadn't heard of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina's position. So my, what's the din? Amalei b'na karev Olah. The din is that that offspring goes on the Mizbeach as an Olah. He goes, Hi my, Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Elazar, Ela mafrish nekeva de Olah. There, it itself goes on the Mizbeach, the Ika, Shemola, Alimo. Wait, we already clarified that according to Rabbi Elazar, Mafrish Nekeva Leola, where the offspring then is a Zachar, that Zachar is put on the Mizbeach because the Imo, there's a Shemola, Alimo. Since there's a Shemola, Alimo, that's enough to allow the Vlad to go on the Mizbeach. About Gabi Hashem, the Lekha Shemola, Alimo, there's no Shemola on the mother, either because of, Rashi says, there's no manifestation in Kevah by Hashem because there's no Olah to Ofen Hashem, or because the primary Hekdesh was not Hekdesh of Olah, it started out as an Hashem and not as an Olah, or according to the Balei HaTosafot, because the proceeds of the Hashem are going to go to an Hashem and not to an Olah, so therefore it's not in concert with the Vlad, because if you already were Nitzkaper with the Hashem, the monies were used towards an Hashem and now the offspring's an Olah. If you use the offspring as the Asham, then the mother goes to be an Olah. And so they're never in consonance over there. I feel Rabbi Elazar Modeh, he even agrees over there that it doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Amalei, Taima the Rabbi Elazar, La Mishum the Shem Olah Limo. I disagree. That's not the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar's position, that Shem Olah Limo. El Mishum the Chazi La Krovo. The reason that the offspring goes on the Mizbeach is because it's Ra'oi for the Mizbeach. The Nekeva that you made into an Olah, she can't go on the Mizbeach. But her offspring is something that's a Zachar, has Kedushat Olah, that's why it goes on the Mizbeach. So by the Asham, you have the same thing. So the Anami Chazil HaKrova, by the Asham, she herself can't go on the Mizbeach as an Asham or as an Olah. But her offspring, which is a Zachar, can go on the Mizbeach as an Asham, or can go on the Mizbeach as an Olah. And so there, it's also Roi Lecha Krova. Eitave, is that really true? Vladan, Vladav, Vlad Vladad, Sof Kol Olam, Yavibid Mehem, Olah. So we said before that when it comes to the offspring, and the offspring's offspring, until the end, you bring with their proceeds, after you get a moment them, and you monetize them, you bring the proceeds to Olah, with the Mehem in, Atzmolo, with their proceeds you bring, but it itself, you can't bring on the Mizbeach. So that would go against what you're suggesting over here, that there's a view that the Vladan could go on the Mizbeach. Because even though Rabbi Elazar appears in our Mishnah, he says that their Yireh Ad Shi Yistaev, And here actually stave applies to all the cases in the Reisha, including Vlad Tmurata, Vlada, Vlad Vlada. All of those are cases of your actually stave. According to you, they are Chazi leMizbeach, and they should be able to go on the Mizbeach. So Gemara says, Hachamai Skinan can go on Shielda Nekeva. No problem that it gave birth to a Nekeva. It was a Tmurat, a Sham that was a Nekeva. And then the offspring was also a Nekeva.
And so then Rabbi Avin Bar Chiya says back to Rabbi Avin Bar Kehana, that explanation you're going to say now about Sofo Olam Lo Olit Chad Zachar. Now you can explain the Mishnah in that way. Amarlei. So Rabbi Avin Bar Kehana says back to him, Mishanina Shinuya Dechika Bavlai. I could have given you a more difficult explanation or far-fetched explanations like the Babylonians do. And the Rabbeinu Gershom quotes the saying that is mentioned in the Gemara a number of times, that the Babylonians could put an elephant through the eye of a needle, through the point of a needle, meaning that they could thread these very difficult solutions. But I gave you one that is more manageable or more palatable, which is that there were no Zecharim ad sof kol hadorot. So then the Gemara says, based on Rashi's gears over here, my havi mishani lei, what would have been the alternate answer that he could have given here if he didn't give the answer? And you can see that in Obed in the Shita Megubetzet as well. Dilo mishani lei shinuye dechika bavlai, mavi mishani lei. He implies here that he had another answer, but he's giving the answer that he thinks is right, which is that the Mishnah is a case where there are no zecharim ad sof olam. But he did have a different answer. What was that other answer? And the Shita Mekubetzet brings the gear, says, Zachar Yakriv Ola Nekeva Yiplu Dameha Linidaba. So that the Tmura both has male and female offspring, just that the offspring have different dinim. With regards to the offspring that are Nekevot, then they are Yiplu Linidaba. But the Zecharim that are born, they themselves will go on the Mizbeach because they are Chazi Le'akrova. And the Mishnah only addressed the issue of the Nekevot, did not address the issue of the Zecharim. So obviously that's as difficult, if not more difficult, answer, because the Mishnah is not dealing with half of the cases or 50% of the cases that could happen from an offspring of a Tmurat Asham. And then the Shita Mekubetzet brings another Lashon that says the same thing as the first Lashon, but that's only applicable Le'achar Kapara. But Lifnei Kapara, then Zachar Yiplu Damav L'Nedava, and the Nekeva Yavid Dameha Ola. And the reason that you don't bring the Zachar as an Ola Lifnei Kapara is probably given here by the Gra, who says that the problem here is Ate Lechlufe, that you might mix them up, which is you might mix up the Vlad Tmurat Asham, which is an Ola, with the Asham itself that you're supposed to bring. And instead of bringing the Asham as the Asham, you're going to bring this Vlad Tmurat Asham as an Asham. And that would then cause a problem. That's why we don't allow it. And then you would have to explain why the Mishnah only mentions the Nekeva. That's because the Nekeva's din is the same, both Lifnei Kapara and Achar Kapara. It's always Yiplu Damea L'Nedava, or the Ola. Whereas for the Zachar, the din changes, that Lifnei Kapara, it is Yiplu Damav L'Nedava. For Zachar Kapara, Hu Atzmo Yakriv Ola. And so because it's not a Halacha Psuka, it didn't deal with it in the Mishnah. And that could have been the alternate answer that Rav Avin Bar Kehana said you could have given instead of the answer that I provided. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph.